Hello and welcome to the Food Manufacturer Podcast. I'm your host for this month, Gwen Riddler, and I'm once again joined by our wonderful and charismatic editor, Bethan Grills.
Oh, thank you. I'll take it. Hello, listeners. It is great to be back with episode 3. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's gone really quickly, hasn't it?
Yeah, no. We've, in this new series of the Food Manufacturer Podcast, obviously talking to some of the greatest leaders within the food and drink manufacturing industry.
Yeah, we've got some excellent episodes coming up. I mean, we've done two really, really great episodes, but we've got some wonderful guests coming up, including for today's episode.
Yes, absolutely. We've got another brilliant guest this month, none other than the founder of Nim's Fruit Crisp herself, Namisha Raja. She's an amazing entrepreneur who just doesn't seem to be able to sit still. And you'll soon hear just about how passionate she is for her business and her keen mind for innovation as well.
Yeah, she's absolutely fantastic. Food manufacturer and Nim's Fruit Crisp goes back a long way. She was a winner a couple of times for the Food Manufacturer Excellence Awards. We know how to pick a winner out, I think. Okay. Let's see what she has to say. I'm very, very excited to hear from her.
Right, you are. Let's hear what she has to say. So thank you, Namisha, for joining us today on the Food Manufacturer Podcast. Great to have you here today.
Good. Lovely to meet you.
Now, Nim's Fruit Crisps has become a household name and has been recognised for its achievements in a number of awards, including our own Food Manufacturer Excellence Awards. But for all of your achievements, you had no history in the food manufacturing industry prior to setting up the company. Talk us through your journey setting up Nim's and what was going through your mind more than 10 years ago.
Well, I used to run a coffee shop prior to this and had several other businesses, but the coffee shop was on my main business. And we used to get a lot of parents and children coming in looking for healthy snacks. And there were few and far between in those days. And anything that purported to be healthy wasn't actually that healthy. It would say no nasties, but there was no goodness either because of the way it was processed. And that's where it sort of came from, is wanting to make sure that the parents and children that were coming in had access to healthy snacks. And there wasn't this constant battle between parents and children. You know, children always wanted crisps and parents always wanted them to have fruit or something for the lack of any healthy snacks. And I just thought if you married the two, maybe we could keep them both happy. And that's where the idea came from, which then went on to me spending a lot of time after work, weekends, and I had a young daughter at the time and I was a single mother, so you know, time was limited, but every spare minute I had, I did a lot of research into how you can make healthy crisps out of fruit, and if at all possible even, because nobody was doing it as far as I know. So just looked at lots and lots of different options of how to do it and settled on an age-old method, really. Air drying for preservation is what we used to do, isn't it? I think in the old days. There's freeze drying, but it just didn't sound right. And it's actually, I found out later, a very expensive process and the end product isn't quite the same. But yeah, so just started off in my garage and trialed it with the parents that were coming in into the shop, and then I made some by hand and went into about 16, 18 different shops in South London and just handed them a tray, basically a branded wooden tray with my products packed in there, and said, look, you know, can I leave these with you to see if they sell? If they sell, you can pay me. If they don't, obviously I'll take them away. And that was really more for me to see whether there was going to be repeat business. Of course, friends and family always tell you they're wonderful. Oh my goodness, they're brilliant, you know. And I think I was wise enough, hopefully, you know, to know that you can't trust that and they're not going to keep me in business if I do open up a factory doing that. But to be honest, opening a factory wasn't at the forefront of my mind at the beginning. It was through not finding anybody else that could make them. And it was a big decision because it meant me selling everything I owned, you know, my home and my coffee shop. I had another business as well at the time, a dry cleaning shop, just selling everything, really, in order to invest in this. And why did I do it? I don't know. But I guess I believed in the product. I say it's ignorance too, because I think we never know what we're letting ourselves in for, which is a good thing, because I think if we really knew, we probably wouldn't do it. But I was just so, I loved the products. I loved what they were about, and they were healthy and good and tasty. And the reason for setting up a factory as opposed to keeping it small was because it needed to be a volume business for it to be affordable. And I wanted them to be an everyday snack as opposed to a treat every now and again. So yes, for all my sins, and I just learned about... learned as I went along, really, how to set up a factory, what it entailed. As you can probably imagine, I'm sure you know, it's a lot to learn, and it took a long time.
It's not just your business that has been recognised for its achievements, but you yourself have been in the headlines for your work in the industry. Last year, you received an MBE for services to business and enterprise. Belated congratulations, by the way. What has this meant for you, and has it changed your outlook?
You know, you can imagine, I'm sure everyone who ever receives one, I have no idea how they choose people and how they find them to, you know, I even asked when I was at Buckingham Palace, one of the attendants there, because there are so many people looking after you while you're waiting, you know, I said, you know, how does this happen? How do people choose? How do I even come to anybody's attention? They said, well, we have people scouting we have to have a minimum of 2 recommendations, and then that goes through a selection procedure and make sure you're suitable. So be proud. And it was nice that he said that, because it, at that moment, probably was the first time I thought, yes, you know, I am going to be proud. And whatever the procedure was, whoever nominated me and how it came about, I thanked them. But it meant a huge amount, you know, my mother and my brother and my daughter were with me. And so they'd never obviously been to Buckingham Palace. And it was such a proud moment. And what it does do, because they tell you what they expect from you as somebody who has been awarded an MBE, is, you know, is to make sure you continue with the work. And what it's done is really enthused me to make sure I live up to that, what their expectations of me, really. And that's to continue to do what I do and even hopefully better.
How important is it for women like yourself in the food and drink industry to receive recognition for your achievements?
I think I'm one of these women who I don't think about the fact very much that I'm a woman. I just sort of do what I want to do and don't think about. And I had actually last week an engineer that I've worked with for about 25 years, a boiler engineer, gas engineer, who used to service our boilers in my dry cleaning shops. And he does the same here. And only last week he was saying, he said, do you realise you're one of the very few women in manufacturing like this to completely set up a factory on your own and, you know, with machinery and all? And I said, I guess I don't really think about it. And he asked me, he said, did you not meet any resistance, any kind of, you know, men sort of looking down on you because you're a woman and treating it? I said, well, maybe they did, but it's not something at the forefront of my mind so I don't go into any conversations, you know, thinking, oh, because I'm a woman, they're going to treat me differently. I'm sure they do. I'm just ignorant of it and I don't think about it. But I think it is important to encourage more women, because he was right. You know, there aren't very many women. And when I thought about it, I thought, yes, the people I deal with, the people on a day-to-day basis, you know, when it comes to machinery, from anything, it's mostly men that I deal with, even our suppliers. There's only one company I've recently started working with, run by 2 sisters. Everybody else is, you know, generally men. So it can be difficult, but it's a tough one, I think, for women to get into, isn't it? Because they have a home life and they need to protect that, and there's a lot on their plate. And I think me being a single mother probably helped that in a way, because I only had to think about me and my daughter, really. But yeah, it's not an easy road, but I think you need to keep an open mind and not to think about it too much. Don't expect criticism. That's the thing. Sorry, don't expect that you are any lesser than a man, and go into it, you know, with an open mind and a mind of learning, because you are learning, and men do have a lot to teach you because they've been doing this a long time. So
Now, what has been your biggest influences to your management style? Has there been anyone who's inspired you to be the leader you are today?
Oh, do you know, I do, for all his faults, I do admire Elon Musk. You know, he is just, he doesn't follow a path, you know, that's been trodden before, and he's created, and that's what I love about him. And, you know, for good or bad, I think he means well. Definitely, there is not a part of me that thinks he's out there just to get rich and to control the world, which he probably could, you know, if he carries on like this. So I admire his innovation, his spirit, his way of looking at things differently. And I guess for me, Elon Musk wasn't in my radar when I started this. You know, that sort of subsequently, I do look up to him. But I think my mother sort of instilled a really strong work ethic in me. And one of the things I think she's probably taught me the most is whatever happens is for the best. And no matter how bad things seem now, there is a reason for it. So look at it for what it is and move on. And that's really, really got me through everything in my life from a very, very young age. And something had happened when I was about 12, 13, and she said that to me then. And I've never forgotten it. But I think it is, yes, about working hard, being transparent, being honest. And I think you reap the rewards of that. You know, whatever you put out, you get back. And I'm not a spiritual person at all, but you know, that's how I feel. I think you need to be really, really hardworking and very transparent in what you do, your actions and your products as well, obviously.
As previously mentioned, you've been running NIM since 2012 and have had to learn a lot about the food manufacturing industry as you've gone. What would you say has been the biggest lessons learned for your career? And would you have done anything differently?
Yes, I think I've always, all businesses I've ever set up have always been on my own. But, you know, it's a retail business or sandwich, a coffee shop or a dry cleaning shop or a wine bar. Those are very easy in a way to set up on your own and manage and run on your own, if you like. But doing something, and because I'd always done it on my own, it didn't even really occur to me that I find a partner to run this with me. I just thought, oh, well, it's like any other business. It's like anything else you do. But I think that would be the thing I would change the most, is try and find somebody that I could have set this business up with, because it's a hell of a lot, you know, to learn. Even simplest things like creating a PowerPoint, you know, using an Excel. These are not things I had ever done. You know, you've got to remember 15, 20 years ago, it wasn't, well, not in my, you know, business that I was in. I didn't need to use PowerPoints and do business plans. You know, I just sort of went, I want that shop, and I set it up and it was mine, and I didn't have to answer to anyone. It was just me, and I didn't have to, you know, prove any. But this entailed so much learning to find buyers at retailers, learning to deal with the supermarkets and what they mean, and a huge learning curve. And it would have been great to have had somebody there. And what I feel it would have done is to accelerate the business a lot more and a lot faster than it has done, because I'm learning everything from scratch. And so it's a slow, slow process. So that's the only thing I sort of kick myself about it at times. Having said that, you know, there are lots of partnerships that don't work, and it could be the death of you and the business, you know. So again, thinking about what my mum said, whatever happened is for the best, and it was just meant to be this way. And if there is somebody out there that I can work with one day, they will come into my life and it will happen. But I think that's what I would say, is get support. It's really hard on your own.
Now, we can't be all business all the time. Sometimes we have to shut off even a successful CEO, because yourself needs to blow off some steam sometimes. So what do you do for fun?
You know, one of my gripes when I look at LinkedIn posts is people always say, you know, you need to have a work-life balance. And it is really, really hard to get a work-life balance. Again, coming back to doing this on your own makes it so much harder. You know, and I still work long hours. I always have done, and I still do. But you, as you say, you do need to get it out of your head for a while, work. And one of the things I do is listen to, I used to read a lot, and I've got thousands of books that I used to read before, but since setting up the factory, never ever have the time. They're just put in boxes and left. But I found Audible. And I thought, oh, no, you can't listen to books. That's just not right. And I was resisting it and resisting it because I'm really old fashioned like that. But then I found Audible and I listened to books all the time. And I'd say I probably about 20 to 30 hours a week of Audible at least listen to. And the other thing I like is playing games. I used to play the old sort of Space Invaders and Pac-Man in the old days. And I used to be in my local fish and chip and kebab shop, you know, playing that for hours on end, and loved them. And my brother, actually, for my birthday last year, he bought me a real life machine. And I've got that in my living room. I can now play Pac-Man to my heart's content at the weekends. It is just takes me right back to my childhood. And Guitar Hero, I play with my daughter a lot. So those kind of things. Oh, and I got into gardening last year. So that was good. Grew tons and tons of tomatoes. Haven't had time to start sowing seeds at the moment this year, but will do next month.
You know, as a keen gamer myself, it's great to hear how you've been able to connect with somebody within your family by through video games, especially Guitar Hero, which is personally one of my personal favourites as well.
My daughter and I went on a cruise ship, on a cruise about 10-12 years ago, and there was a competition, Guitar Hero competition, and we entered it and we won and we were so pleased. It was like, I mean, the competition wasn't difficult, I have to say. You know, there were mostly little kids, and then there's me, the grown up, and then my little daughter. But yeah, I'm still proud to win.
Namisha, thank you very much for talking to us today.
It's been a pleasure, Namisha.
Well, I want to thank you as well. You know, Food Manufacturer has been so, so supportive of us. And the most, I mean, I have to say, one of the most memorable moments has to be within, I think, the second year of me setting up the business and starting running, and we entered the Innovation Award. And, I mean, you could have absolutely knocked me down. And I remember that day and the feeling, because that was the first ever award, and I've never forgotten it, and, you know, holds pride a place. So thank you for all the support. Without you, you know, we wouldn't be able to talk about the business and let people know. So I really appreciate that.
Thanks for listening to the Food Manufacturer Podcast. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcast from and to the Food Manufacturer newsletter so you never miss the latest news and insight from the food and drink manufacturing industry. You can also find us on LinkedIn, X, formerly known as Twitter, and Facebook. The podcast is published the last Tuesday of every month, so don't forget to join us on the next episode of the Food Manufacturer Podcast.